28, and about rewards. Bible says a lot about it. It's given as a motive to serve God. Regardless if someone doesn't think it's a great motive or not, it is one of the reasons why we serve God. And there's nothing wrong with serving God for rewards. Pastor this morning talked about one of the rudest things you can do is not want a gift that somebody wants to give you. Amen. And so here we are. It's one verse, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, talking about when Christ comes back, people, Christians, and now little children. John the Apostle, when he wrote this 1 John, and he would use the term little children for Christians, abide in him, that when he shall appear, that's the rapture, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at the rapture again, at his coming. And we'll pray, Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Help us have confidence and not have to be ashamed at your coming, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So you can see here, there's going to be Christians. When I went to Romania, there was people who I talked about, some Christians aren't good, and there's some Christians that really are good. And he said, what do you mean they're all good? And I said, well, they're, positionally holy, but the Bible says, are you not carnal as walk as babes in Christ, and they're spiritual Christians? I mean, that's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. And here we have Christians, little children, and that at the appearing, at the coming of Christ, which could be any day. It may not be in our lifetime, but I'm expecting it. The point is, some of us would be ashamed when he comes back, if he came back tonight, and some of us would have confidence. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in this passage you have some rewards. So there's a shame, there's confidence, there's rewards, there's lack of rewards. We'll find out in the next chapter, next place we go, it's only three places we'll be going. I'm going to spend a little time here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that there's praise and there's lack of praise. And there's given an explanation at the judgment seat of Christ. All my punishment has been meted out on the cross. We love our Savior for that, amen. I mean, he went to the cross bearing our sins, suffering for us, the righteous dying for the unrighteous. Thank you, Lord. But we can have rewards. And so let's just look at verse 8 for a second. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man, the emphasis from here on out is every or any, just anyone, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And when we get to heaven, there will be some people will get more rewards than others. We'll be in the parable of the pound here in a moment. And over there in the parable of the pounds, they're all given 1 pound, and one earned 10, and one earned 5, and one of the three that are in that passage, the third one didn't do anything with his gift that God had given him. If you got 10, then you got 10 cities. If you had 5, you got 5 cities. Some people think God should just divide it all up, but that's not how God does things. He's not a commie. What you get is what you work for. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And verse number 12, if any man, verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. The last part of verse 13. Fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned. And so this is for all of us. We're not getting out of this. If you name the name of Christ and you trust Jesus Christ for heaven, this is for you. This isn't for your neighbor. Now, these are positive things. These are good reasons to serve Christ, their rewards. So verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. So we can build upon the foundation. I've had one time door knocking. A man's, there's three men there, and they're standing there by a boat or something, and I'm just passing out tracts, inviting people to church. And the man says, I got a question for you. Why should we serve God if you believe, and he was coming across like he thought he believed it, we have everlasting life anyway once you're saved. Well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, God corrects whom the Lord loves, he corrects, amen? He doesn't correct us for good things, he corrects us for bad things, like not serving him. We're the light of the world. And but I said, well, we have a foundation. Nobody can lay it except for that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can lay this foundation. But if any man build upon this foundation, so we can build on the foundation. I'm saved. I have a foundation. Jesus Christ laid it. But I can do things, good things, and get rewards for it, according to the scriptures here. And I like rewards. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, and then the things that burn, wood, hay, and stubble. Some of us are preparing a bonfire for the Lord, and others are going to be rewarded. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, that's the judgment seat of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And motives enter into this. As preacher said, the wrong motive can spoil a good gift that you want to give, and we get rewarded for these things. You know, there's five crowns in the Bible that we know of, perhaps others that he did not tell us of. If you give a cup of cold water to a disciple, you'll not lose your reward. We serve a boss who makes no mistakes. Okay? You know how you work at maybe your company, and when the boss isn't around, not everybody works the same when he's not there. And some people who are naturally hard workers, they get, you know, hey, you're making us look bad. Well, I'm serving the Lord Christ. And he goes on down here, and he knows what we're doing. If any man's work abide, that he is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, well, he's going to go to hell and he loses his salvation, right? Verse 15, no. The Bible does say you can lose rewards. In fact, here's one verse that says that. But then salvation is a gift. Amen? And it's everlasting life, and we don't work for it. So here we have verse number 15. Another place, look to yourself that you receive a full reward. Now, think about it. This is forever. Okay? We're living here for 70 years. Maybe you're fortunate to live 100 years. Hey, it's eternity when this is all over, okay? It doesn't end everything, just ends this life here. And it's for eternity, and these rewards will be forever. And Paul said, I receive a crown that fadeth not away. And he told the Thessalonians, are not even ye my crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord at his coming? And his crown of rejoicing was, hey, I won these people to the Lord. And that's going to be for all eternity. Get involved in this thing of serving Christ. You get rewarded for it. And he doesn't make any mistakes. So, now if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So, how could he be saved if he didn't get any rewards? Because salvation is a gift again. So right now, you, every man is building, every woman is building, every person who trusts Christ is building or not building like they should, and what sort it is, and so on. I had a friend named Max Lundeen. I'm not sure if I shared this with you before. This is, you know, when I was a kid, he was 13. We went over to his house to spend the weekend, and he pulled out of his pocket two silver dollars, and they were real silver back in those days. We had silver in those days, 1,000 years ago. And they were melted and disfigured, but they were still worth, they were money. I mean, it didn't matter if they were disfigured. And I asked him, I said, where'd you get that? And he said, well, there's this house here in this area that burned to the ground, and I got it out of the ashes. Want to go see if we can find some more? I said, sure, let's go. It'll be like a treasure hunt. And we went there, and there was only two things standing here there on this house. There was no roof, no walls, no doors, no windows, no glass. I guess it melted into the ground. But two things were there. The foundation, and it was built out of rocks, you know, like boulders and cement. It was a cabin. And a chimney. And it was also built out of rocks and cement. That was it. Nothing else was standing. But then rocks don't burn. Precious stone and gold and silver doesn't burn. And so that's how it's going to be. At the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to set fire to your life. He's going to stand back. He'll see what you did here. and you may have helped some people and you've done some good deeds and stuff. I know some people who do good things and they think this is going to be help get them into heaven. No, you have to have the foundation. I think in somebody, a relative, I know, he was proud that he helped somebody one time buy something at a checkout counter. Amen, that's very good and nice of him. But he doesn't get any rewards for it because he's not saved. First, you need a foundation, then build upon that. Now, if you will, turn with me, lastly, Luke chapter 19. And you're going to want those rewards. I had six children. If I came home with five pieces of candy, I was in trouble. And they had to be all the same color. If I came back five red and one blue, I was, this is red, mine's blue. And sometimes the kid with only the one odd color was crying, and the other ones were crying because they didn't have his. And that's, oh, good grief. It doesn't matter. If God's giving out lollipops, you're going to want them. Stop thinking you won't want them, okay? You know, don't have this, you know, you hear false humility and the false self-righteousness and all this baloney. God wants to give us rewards. He says, hey, guys, you can get rewards. Well, if he wants to give them to me. Really? Well, let's see over here. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And verse number 11. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So they had the wrong ideas about the return of Christ. Their theology was, they were pre-trip. Verse number, they thought, man, it's coming back now. Well, it's coming back when he wants it, and it can come back now, but it hasn't for 2,000 years, and they thought it was going to immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country. That nobleman is Jesus Christ. That far country he went to is heaven. To receive for himself a kingdom, that's the millennium, and I'll explain that in a moment, and to return, that's the rapture. Got it? It's not happening today, guys, but it's going to happen. I'm going away, and I'm coming back. And in verse 13, and he called his 10 disciples, and he delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. You and I have been given a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. Some people never find out what their Christian Holy Spirit given gift. Your mom gave you birth, and your face is stamped on you from your parents, you know, and DNA and all that. And the Holy Spirit giveth every man severally as he wills. And you've been given something, and if you don't get involved in serving God, you will never find out what it is. Why is it some people can sing better than other people? God gave you a talent, or from your parents, you inherit things. Stature, your race, your IQ maybe, I don't know. But you get, and God gives us things, and God expects us to do something with it. I used to think that if somebody had a gift, that if they're not using it today, eventually they'll get on fire for God. That's unfortunately not true. In this passage of Scripture, we'll see that. One guy just took it and hid it and didn't do anything with it, and he got chewed out. Ten, occupy. That's a commandment. Do something with what you have. And listen, if I walked up to you with, let's say, $300,000, I'm going to come back in a year, and here's $300,000. And I want you to take 10 people and invest this. And when I come back in a year, I want to see my return on this money. And you know, you're going to get rewarded for what you get. Well, if you had that $300,000, you already know there's some people in this room you would never go to. And there's other people in this room you'd be trying to get there, and other people are lining up behind him. I was taught, pretty young age, you want to get something done, find the busiest person you can, because if they fit it in their, and they put it on their list, it gets done. And other people always got reasons why it can't be done. God expects us to do things. I'm fortunate I had a dad who was a worker. And a grandfather was a worker. And some people are brought up at a young age looking for that, what is that, cush job? Oh, what a cush job. Wish I could have that. God doesn't want us to look for those jobs. He wants us to work. Well, that's just terrible. No, I mean, there's certain joy in working. There's certain respect and being faithful at things that people will give you respect. Everybody respects a hard, is an atheist, if he's a hard worker and he's a Christian and he's lazy, who are you going to respect? I'm sorry, that's how it works. I mean, you get to heaven, you got a foundation, but why do you want to hide your gift and spoil everything? So do something for God. And some of us are. I can't, you know, Brother Gary, I just don't sing as good as so-and-so. So therefore, I can sing better than most, but not as good as her or him. So therefore, I'm not doing anything. Well, that's not a good reason. God expects you to take what he has given you and do something with it. Occupy, do business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him and saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. What is the message that the world's sending today? Don't tell us what to do. We don't want Jesus ruling over us. Verse 27, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Verse number 15, and it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, now the kingdom begins at this time. Some people are a little bit confused. Well, he got the kingdom when he went there. No, he went there and it got ripe, the earth, and it was ready for reaping, and he starts the kingdom up. By the way, you get 10 cities, you reign and rule. The only place I know in Scripture, maybe others, but the only place I know of where we reign and rule is with Christ 1,000 years, which is during the millennium, okay? You happy about that? And they're going to reign, have 5 cities. Therefore, have thou authority over 5 cities. That's ruling. And we're reigning with him. And return he received. Then he commanded, whew, these servants to be called to him and whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. You're not getting out of this, Christian. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And I'm going to skip and come back to the praise here in a minute. Verse 18, and the second came, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5. And then we have the other, and another came saying, I didn't do anything with what you gave me. Why do you think number one is the one with 10? It's very normal. I mean, who's ever doing the most for Christ right now is the one who wants Christ to come back the most tonight. And the person who's not decided to serve Christ yet is hoping he comes back tomorrow, but not now. It's obvious. The one who doesn't do it, he's number 3 because he's kind of wishing, well, I can't get out of that. I thought you were going to come back later, Lord. The other guy, he'd done something. He didn't get any praise, though. Look here, yeah, that's interesting. I'd done about anything to get praise. We didn't get money for serving. We got spanked or we didn't. But we got praise, and I loved that from my dad. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful. Faithful, good, and well. And servant. I don't want to be a servant, Brother Gary. Well, you are. You are serving Jesus Christ or the world, your girlfriend, Satan, I don't know who. You're serving lust. You're serving something. And we've been called to be the light of the world for him and to be a witness unto him. And he says, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound came 10 pounds. And he said to him, well, good and faithful. Oh, you've been faithful in little, have thou authority over 10. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, no good and no faithful. He just said, be thou also over 5 cities. There's no praise here. Some people, they get, you know, you get these communistic ideas like, oh, they should all be equal. No, that's not how it is. And we shouldn't praise anybody. I don't think it's wrong to clap in the church. I really got these people telling me it's wrong to clap. I don't see where Jesus said, don't you clap now. Whatever. Some people think it's wrong to tell jokes in church. Yeah, if they're not good, I wouldn't tell them. But if they're bad jokes, no. And if they're not funny, no. In a church where they told me you don't tell funny jokes in the pulpit. Okay. I'd forgotten. Then I just told a story that was funny. They just laughed. That was the funniest thing, you know. I said, well, what's the difference? Well, it's different. I said, okay, but I don't see it. Anyhow, a merry heart doeth good as a medicine, all right? Is it wrong to praise people? Pastor Noel, Pastor Rich, I don't know if you've ever done this. There's been times when I praise people from the pulpit here who really weren't doing a very good job at some things. Or they were new Christians, and I praised them because they were doing something right. Sometimes I really had to think, what on earth did this person do right? Okay, they sit down and don't jump up and down when they're in service. I'll give them that much. They fill a chair. And I did that one time after a church. This is a new brother, and you know, he is new in Christ, but he's trying to do something. And I wanted to encourage him. That was my motive. After church, another brother came up, been there for a while, and he chewed me out. He said, I did a whole lot more. You never praised me. I said, look, I just, you know, what the situation was there, and I just thought you were a stronger Christian and didn't need that. I'm sorry, I guess I was wrong, so. Well, I just don't think you should. Well, if you read the Bible, Jesus praises people, and in the Bible, we're told to praise people. It's not wrong. You know, these crazy ideas. It's not wrong to tell a joke. It's not wrong to give praise or to get. We're not to be, you know, flattering people or living for. We're to be living for the praise that comes from God alone. But he says we can praise other people. All right? And you're not always going to get the praise that compared to somebody else. Believe it, if that's what you're thinking, it's not going to happen. And so you will get upset. But you didn't do it for the pastor to praise you from the pulpit, did you? Who'd you do it for? He did it for the Lord. And he'd been faithful over very little. I was in the military, and I used to, boy, at boot camp, I was picking up paper all the time. And I think I shared this with you. It's just a job. They don't have enough jobs, so you got to pick up paper. And I was Pastor Noel, and I was his associate. And my job there was picking up paper. And it was a grange before they built the building there. And, you know, they danced on Saturday, and you want to get down there early Sunday morning, clean this place out, and open up the windows, get this fresh air in here, and you know, pick up papers and stuff. I said, preacher, you know, really, I just graduated from Bible college. And I would think, you know, we could find somebody else to do this. And he said, well, Brother Gary, it's either you or me, and I'd rather have it be you. So I said, I can get out of it. So I became a pastor. That's it. I'm not picking up any more paper. I'm too important, so I don't need to do that no more. And I taught other people how to pick up paper. So you just kind of, you know, all you do is just bend like here, just something on the ground, just pick it up, look, that's there, stick it in the trash can. That's all you do. It's not hard to do. I'm the only one who sees paper, though. And they see their friends come in, and they how high? And they're sitting over there going and talking with their friends. Said, listen, you have been here for a long time now. We're expecting more from you. What do you mean? You talk to your friend during the break. Listen, we're here to greet new Christians and to encourage them. You know why people come to your church? Because they like it here, because they feel welcome here, because they have friends here. 99% of the people outside this building will not come here because you have the truth, because they don't know what the truth is. They will know you're Christians by your truth? No. You have to worship them in truth. But they don't know you're Christian because of truth. They know you're Christians by your love. And who doesn't want to go to some place where it's nice, warm fuzzies and people are kind to you? So I pick up papers, and I couldn't get them to pick it up. And I said, come on, you guys. Why am I the only one that sees the mess around here? I was told that the person who's going to be a leader is the person who sees what needs to be done and does it without being told. So I'm a very good leader of picking up paper or something. I was in Romania, and we had this, we rented this, the biggest building in the whole town we rented. And it had a heating system in it, which maybe worked one time. I don't know. It didn't work, and we were using it. Very, very cold in the winter there for a few months. And my wife's in the hallway, and we had, you know, we just came there 6 weeks. I was using a translator back then. The first 2 years I used a translator. And Nancy's got so bundled up. I mean, it was, and she's in the hall. That was a nursery, the hallway, before you went into the auditorium. And I had won two people to the Lord that, I mean, the Lord did through me. Thank you, Lord. And I go out there. I'm excited. I wanted to share it with Nancy, and you could see her breath. the kids are all in the corner bundled up trying to play some game, and she's going back and forth like this, and you know, like it's really freezing in this room. I said, Nancy, two people got saved. She just keeps going. I said, Nancy, do you hear me? Two people got saved. She says, I'm happy for you. And she's going back and forth. I go, she says, stop hearing me. What are you thinking of? I'm thinking if Jesus came back right now, he'd see me doing this. So don't bother me. I said, well, that's true. He would, wouldn't he? Yeah, he'd see you sitting home. And he'd get people, you know. The third guy's got an excuse. This excuse is over everything. I don't feel good. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I was inviting people to church, you know, as you do, especially as a pastor in Paulsville, Washington. I'm too busy. I haven't got any time. It's a bus route. And a six-year-old girl with a doll in her arm. Hey, would you like to come to church? I'm too busy. I haven't got any time. I go, oh, come on. 6 years old kid doesn't have any time. Too busy. And that's an excuse, though. We actually believe these because, well, we've heard this, and we give all these reasons why we can't do anything. picking up paper, that's a little thing. Because I've been faithful over very little, like the little widow's two mites. I've been faithful at this. I've given, and I've worked hard, and other people come here. Listen, buddy, anybody can come to the church building when it's nice and new and pretty. You guys who were stuck it out with Pastor Rich when it wasn't so nice and new and pretty, you're the guys, you're the pioneers. You're the people we build churches with. Praise the Lord, your reward is more. So you come to church, you got your new dress on, and the ladies and the, you know, somebody goes like this, and you show her your new dress, it's normal. And you go, what? You got the dirty duty. Huh? Yeah, it's your turn in the nursery. Again, they're waiting on you. Goodbye. You go in there, some kid burps on you, and smelly diapers, and crying, and you know, you had a nice dress, and now it's... And you're in stinking place. And then the mama comes in there. You didn't change job. You don't like my child, do you? Tell me my child. You know, like you're getting paid for this or something. And do you have any special parents here? Because they have special children. Do you have any of those? Sir, I said, your kids got the same sin nature as everybody else. So don't, they're not special. Well, they, you know, you didn't forget it. If they think that, you're not going to be able to explain it to them differently, and they should have taken care of my baby more. I mean, come on, they're in the nursery working. You want to go in there? I don't. Not fun. So they get rewarded for these things. Don't think, well, nobody notices. You've been doing it for Jesus, and look to yourself that you receive a full reward. If any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. And so keep going forward for the Lord. Go on down. Let's look at this guy's excuse, by the way. And he said, verse 20, and another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Well, what in the world did you do that for? I told you to do something with it. Yeah, well, it's not fun, you know, and I didn't exactly want it. And I was embarrassed telling people about Jesus. And I was, blah, 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 for I feared thee. That's a lie, by the way. If he was really afraid of Christ, he would have gone out there and done something. Because thou art an austere man. I mean, a strict, harsh person. You really expect me to do something, and I thought he wasn't going to do a good job, so I didn't even try. Oh, boy, you're really in trouble now. He's going to judge you out of your own mouth, that thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth, what's your excuse? God's going to turn that back on you like some lawyer would in the courtroom. And you said that you thought that was excuse. Well, then if that's true, what about this, this, and this? And you feel ashamed in front of the whole world. And some will have confidence, and some will be ashamed, and some will get praised, and some will get reproved, and some will get rewards, and some will just have their whole life be a total waste. Like I said, I've known, best preacher boy we got over where I'm at right now in our main church, I've given up thinking he'll ever do anything. That's just the way I am. I can't change. No, you don't want to change. Well, that's hard. Yeah, I know. But God gave you a wonderful gift, and he really enjoys using his gift, but he can't use it because he won't repent. If you have to change more in order to be used of the Lord, I just believe God's going to bless you more. Let the Lord use you. This is interesting too. He says in verse 23, "Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming..." It's all about the return of Christ and getting rewards. The judgment seat of Christ is in heaven, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is in heaven. And when tribulation is going here on earth, the marriage supper of the Lamb is where, brothers? Yeah, so don't tell me that the church is down here on the planet during the tribulation, because it's in heaven. "Wherefore then gavest thou my money into the bank at my coming, that I might have required my own at usury." At least you could have put it in the bank and, bring your tithe in. "And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one that hath shall be given. And for him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him." I might have shared this one other time when I was here. I've had different times, actually. People say, "I don't want any rewards." I say, "Well, yeah, but you do want them." "Well, not really. I'm just doing this because I love God." That's very admirable. But you do want the rewards. "Not really." Well, I do. So let's pray that when we get to heaven, I get your rewards, okay? Well, if God wants to give them to me, no. You said you didn't want them, and I want them. And I just read a passage in Scripture, I can get them. So why don't we settle it right now, since you don't want them, and I do want them, and you're carnal, and I'm not, that I get your rewards. He wouldn't pray that prayer. He was, "Well, I just, it's going to make God happy. Well, I don't want, but if it makes you happy, I'll take it away." Whoa. That's okay. We'll find out. Gary wanted some. Where's Gary? I'm over here. Look, here I am right here. I'll take them. I made the honor roll one time. Ever tell you about making the honor roll? Seventh grade, I made the honor roll. The only time in my life I made the honor roll. It was after report cards come out, and, I'd cut up in class, and it wasn't important to me. Yes, it should have been important to me. Your teachers won't like me. Most of my teachers had attitudes. I had problems with them. But anyway, I'm sorry. I never made the honor roll. I just got my C, maybe a D. I didn't really care. My sister always got the honor roll. And, and then, of course, Dad would say, "Well, that's real good, huh? Now, Gary, where's your report card?" "I don't know. It's around here somewhere." And said, "Go get it." And I got a little, I didn't like that at all. And I was out in the hallway in seventh grade, and they shouldn't have butted in the conversation. I don't know why I did it. Two girls were congratulating themselves for making the honor roll. So I just said, "Well, I can make the honor roll if I wanted to." And they didn't say anything. They just looked at me. "Huh?" I said, "Well, yeah, all you got to do is study. It's no big deal." And they, and they walked off. And I thought, they actually really think I'm stupid. I'm not stupid. If I'd have really been smart, I would have studied then and done better. But I'm not stupid. So guess what? I said, "I'm going to show them I'm not a retard. I'll do it one time. I can do this." So I set off. We had five or six teachers at seventh grade. Each class was, math, a different teacher, and blah, 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 and geography, history. So anyway, and my English teacher, boy, I really had a problem with her. I had to buy her a box of chocolate. It worked. That's all I cared about. And I knew I made the honor roll, by the way. I knew I made it before I made it, because I went around and checked and found out what I was going to get. I used every angle I could. "Well, they're giving me, and I'm really trying hard. I really want to be a good example." My first test, when I started off, I got a B. I should have got a triple A plus on this. What is this? I almost gave up. I said, "I'll try it one. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not smart. Maybe I can't do this." And I tried, simply because I tried. And the second test, I got an A. Good. I got two Bs, the rest were As, and that was on a roll in seventh grade where I was at. Took my report card. Oh, by the way, I had to move away from my friends. in classroom because they would cut up and I couldn't study. And I sat up in front. I actually didn't want to sit in the very front, but that was the only empty seat left. They'd sit in the back. The teacher should have never let them do that. And they'd sit in the back where the coat racks were, and they'd hide behind there, or they'd throw spitwads or something. I had to move away from these guys because I couldn't study. And be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. You want to get rewards, you need to be around people who are getting rewards. You want to get hot, you get in the fire with those that get with the other coals, and they'll warm you up, and you'll get red hot too. So anyway, I got my report card. I looked at my... They go, you want to be teacher's pet? No, it's fine, just say what you want. Never mind. I got my report card, and I looked at my friends, and they had that sick look on their face like, ugh. I knew what that meant. That meant they had to go home and get chewed out by their parents. I think some of those guys got spanked. Seventh graders, they needed it. Not me. I'm happy. I am so happy. I did two things. Now, you know what I did with one. I found the two girls. Hey, hi, remember me? I'm Gary. That's the guy. This is me, Gary. My report. I made the honor roll. And I walked off. I just wanted them to know I could do it. All you got to do is study and go congratulate yourself. I went home. I sat out front on the front. Oh, boy. This was different. Report card day, and Gary's sitting out front waiting for Dad to come home. My dad's gonna find. My sister comes home from school. She goes, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Get in the house. Don't worry about me." So Dad comes home and he don't even get 1 foot out of the truck. Got this report card in his face, and he's looking at the report card. He goes, "What, Dad? Look, this Ellen's. No, it's mine, Dad. It's mine." Puts his lunch pail down, and then they had A, B, C, D, and all those things, you know. I had A's and two B's, and they had respect, school, property, and all these other nice little things they check off. Well, that's really well done, Gary. I guess you'll be doing this from now on, huh? And I go, I should have. Well, report cards are coming up, and some of us are getting gold, silver, precious stone, and some of us are getting wood, hay, and stubble. It's like the guy says, I don't believe in hell. Well, it's real even if you don't believe it. And this is real even if you don't believe it. And you should believe it because it's here. And this is given as a reason to serve God. There's other reasons, but this is a very good reason. And this is for all eternity. Some people come up here and got a little bit of praise tonight for some things. Hallelujah. A little bit of plot. Praise. Listen, buddy. There's people who are doing everything just to get a gold star on a thing at school. We get crowns that are incorruptible that don't fade away. So, what are you thinking about right now? I'm thinking, if Jesus come back right now, he'd see me doing that. That's right, he would. He'd see you if you were home. He'd see you if you were sinning. I actually believe that the day Jesus comes back, we're probably going to be tempted not to go to church that day. What do you think? On your altar calls, do you have people stand, preacher? Let's stand. I'm not sure if I don't do it right, just understand the situation. The altar's open. Do what Jesus